In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls. The epistle for today comes from the first letter of Blessed Apostle Peter. Dearly beloved, the ancients therefore that are among you, I beseech you, who am myself also an ancient and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of that glory which is to be revealed in time to come. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking care of it, not by constraint, but willingly according to God, not for filthy lucre's sake, but voluntarily, neither as lording it over the clergy, but being made a pattern of the flock from the heart. And when the Prince of Pastors shall appear, you shall receive a never fading crown of glory. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus came into the quarters of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am? Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they say, "Some John the Baptist, others Elias, others Jeremias, and others of one of the prophets." Jesus saith unto him, "But whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answering said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven." And thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You may take your seat. Today, as we get into this feast day of St. Sotor and St. Caius, both popes and martyrs of the early church, I want to mention that the commemoration that we'll be doing today is against malus cogitationes, which means what? Bad thoughts. So if you have bad thoughts going on, whatever those are, including nightmares, this Mass is being offered particularly with prayers for that the power of the Holy Spirit would overcome whatever evil is going on, is attacking you, whether it comes from any of the enemies of our soul, the world, the flesh, or the devil. There's powerful prayers being said in this Mass, particularly for those of you who struggle in this way. There's somebody who contacted me this week who is indeed struggling with those kind of malus cogitationes that are attacking them as a family during the night. And so we're praying particularly for that family, but for all who need those protections, not just while they sleep, but even while they're awake, whether those bad cogitations may be those of anger or of lust or of anything else. So there's one of the saints who I was really inspired by this morning as I was reading through. I'm pretty sure he's probably the same saint I preached on this time last year as well, because I remember the story really well. His name is Saint Leonidas of the 2nd century, rather the 200s of the 3rd century, it would be. And there he was suffering under a great persecution, but seeking to lead a good, holy Catholic family there within the area surrounding Rome. And Saint Leonidas was very Catholic, as we would say today, because he had seven sons, and raising them up in the love of God with he and his wife. But it came to pass, just as you would see, he's a martyr as well, that his life was coming under the suspect of the government. And so he was cast into prison for having such a good faith. But before that, he was so inspired by one in particular of his sons. His son was given the name Origen. And he had such a love for God, such a passion for the Lord, that even not just as a little kid, mind you, but as a sleep, he would uncover this son's breast, this young man's breast, and he would kiss right there over his heart. because knowing that that's the very place where the Holy Spirit, that God the Father, that God the Son lived and dwelled from the moment of his baptism, and that this Son was so ardently pursuing the Holy Trinity and the love of God that he would kiss the very place where the Holy Trinity was honored within the soul of his own Son right there, each and every night, just as a little cariño there. Given that when he was spending so much time away from the family, locked in prison, preparing for death, he himself said, well, my father has gone to go to martyrdom. Well, I too wish to go to martyrdom. And so leaping forth in that way, to go forth and to take that gift which was his father's, not that he would die alone or to suffer in persecution by himself, and wanting to be at his very side, knowing that he was such a consolation to his father prior to it, that he would have the grace to make it all the way on, and the two of them could enjoy the embrace of God forever as being co-martyrs, one with the other. His mother knew that and knew that she didn't want to bear to lose him in this way. So what did this good and loving mother do of a son who is so in love with God and so modest, so chaste, so given to all the Christian virtues? She took all of his clothes while he was sleeping, knowing that that was his plan, and locked them away so that there he was naked. He couldn't go anywhere outside the home being in that way, because that would be unchaste, that would be immodest to be able to do so. And so despite his terrible pleadings with his mother saying, please, please, please give me this. Please allow me to go out there. I want to be with my father. She said no, and permitted only that his clothes would be hid. As a very creative mom, isn't it? Very creative. And so that's what happens. So from the distance, he would send messages over to his father, such to give him encouragement as he was there suffering at a distance, so that he himself would be encouraged by his son's prayers and his son's good and wise words of counsel, even though his young age, that he would make a good and happy, blessed martyrdom death. And so that's why we have Saint Leonidas. Origen has a different story. We'll get to some other time. I want to share this with you with regard to the hardships that you and I face. Speaking of Saints Caius and Saint Sotor that we celebrate today, not only were they attacked from without, meaning the persecutions of the government, but they also dealt daily with the struggles of false friends, of the cares that they had for keeping the faith unstained within this world. And so all these difficulties that they had, and not to mention with everything that you can imagine within your own self, their own human weaknesses, their own struggles with bad thoughts, their struggles against all the other vices and attacks which would attack a person no matter what state of life they're in, they struggled in every single way, just like you and me. And so this is what I want to share with you, a meditation, that all these hardships, there were so many special effects of a most dear, tender love and mercy given by Christ to those whose providence these trials are sent to them. What they considered all these difficulties that they had were as steps by which their souls would be raised to the summit of high virtue. We ourselves, we meet those exact same things. Those exact same domestic persecutions and contradictions, those within our own household or among our friends or family members who don't know what it is that we're striving for and even present themselves as a hindrance to it. These are thorns that we encounter upon the road. They may indeed be called thorns, but they produce and guard the sweetest and most beautiful flowers of virtue. It is owing to our sloth or our cowardice or our impatience. It is our fault if they are hindrances of what they are designed by God to advance and perfect our souls. Virtues that are daily exercised in prosperity, which are fair to the eye and then applauded by men, are usually false virtues and superficial. A perpetual spring would produce only leaves and flowers and bring no fruit to maturity. To understand the incomparable value and merit of these little crosses of which are so apt We are so apt to complain, we must not lose sight of the life of the saints. Those Christian heroes of whom the world was not worthy all suffered and were persecuted in very many ways. And these crosses, they both purchased and ensured that they would have the greatest of all crowns. We know that from our own lives. Here, we like one of the great things that we used to, particularly my own family, to grow within our own garden were green chilies or great peppers. And one of the things that you have with great peppers is that you don't want to water them too much, right? If you give them too much water, what happens is that they end up being nice and full. They're grown well, but they don't develop that spice that we really want. It's only when they have those moments of aridity, of dryness, that the spice, that the heat of the particular pepper is able to come to its fullness there. And so it is the same way with the virtues of our own souls. To have that spiciness, which to have that real flavor, to have that goodness within our own soul. We can't just always have good times, but we have to have those moments of aridity, moments of difficulty, and moments of hardship. And those are the things that prove the true and good and lasting Christian virtues. So if you're going through those moments of grace right now, where it's everything seems to be firing on all cylinders, thanks be to God, enjoy that. But don't pray that that will last forever. Pray that the Lord in His mercy will seek to lead you beyond that so that there can be even greater growth. And those things that seem like they're virtues today may fall away if they are indeed false virtues. And then real virtue can be brought about in their behest. And if you're going through those difficulties or those moments and hardships where that are indeed testing you, notice that those are the things, if you persevere through them, just like the saints that we have today in the meditation I just read for you there, so too will you be proved and given those great graces, those things which do not fall away when the waters cease to flow. They do not fall away when the aridity seeks in. That's what the real fruits of the spiritual life are. Whatever the difficulty is, we have the saints who are interceding for us, and they're great examples to inspire us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.